He's not gonna be here.
But we do, we got it covered.
All right.
Is Daddy here now?
Who?
Is he there?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna just keep right on through the do part four of the birth pains and just finish right on up, and then I told Louise I was gonna pass him the baton.
Yep, that's right.
Just keep on going. And
you got that on record?
It is.
Okay.
It is recorded.
Well, that's the only thing we got now to record, but we're not doing it on the computer, so that's important.
Amen. So, let's recap. Birth pains. What causes birth pains is when a message goes out, and first of all, that message going out causes a pain because the people are coming out of that system that they're in. And then the people, not just the preaching of the message, but the, when the people begin to receive it, then they're birthed out of that organizational system they're in, birthed out of their own ideas, and they come forth, born by the Word. And when you're born, you come out. So you come out speaking, crying, "Abba, Father! Amen. I believe the message. I believe that what God has spoken is correct. I believe that the way to the new birth is to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and who His name is and all those things." And you keep confessing as you keep growing, and you walk into your confession on up until you come to maturity, and then finally. To birth us from completely out of the world, God sent us a message, a shout, to birth us from the things of this world. That's the capstone right here.
Amen.
And it births us out of this. It's going to change our bodies. It's changing our bodies right now. And when you catch that, then you begin to speak the same thing. And that's what's going to cause the dead to be raised, is when the bride is saying the same thing that was spoken by the prophet's message. And so what's pulling us up, what's doing all the turning and the pulling and the delivering, is this message, the capstone message that the prophet preached, that he brought, the shout. As the bride begins to catch the message, then she's birthed from the things of this world, out of the earth, out of the things of this of this world. That's why I preached a message a long time ago called Earthly Shackles. Mm-hmm. Because all of our creeds and our dogmas are things that are what's shackling us to the earth. And as you believe the Word, then those shackles are broken until finally the last shackle is broken and you can brush death off your arm. You can, as sickness comes up your arm, you brush it off because you have become the Word. And so that's why we'll say, you know, when Brother Brown preached the message, the rapture, it changed the way we perceive the rapture, because you think, well, the rapture was like this event that, like how they make movies and things about, where one day just all of a sudden everybody is disappearing from planes and all kinds of things. It is one event. But what Brother Branham taught the rapture is a process where you begin to, it really starts when, it starts on a clothesline religion. Mm-hmm. Where you say, "I'm not dressing right, I'm not doing right, I want to change the way I am because I heard the Word," and you begin to feed on the things of the Word, of the things of God, the feed on the Word, and it changes you from the things of the world to the things of God.
Amen.
And it's a long process, maybe, because it's really bound. It depends on how much you can open your heart to the Word. Open your heart to receive God. Somebody, one of the kids was asking me, "How long does it take to be adopted?" And well, you can look at the disciples and you say, "Well, they were with Jesus for 3.5 years, and after that 3.5 years, the Spirit fell on them at the day of Pentecost, and boom, they shot up. All the virtues were manifested in them." So it really depends on how much Word you can receive, how much you can open yourself up to, and that's really what the constraint is. And God has been waiting on the readiness of the bride all these years. He's been waiting on us to get ready, because we, to be honest, we goof around. We don't give enough. We don't dedicate ourselves to the Word. We don't get into the message and read about it and find it and see what it's really saying. But back to the point I was trying to make, people have had an incorrect conception of what it means to miss the rapture. To miss the rapture, you could be missing the rapture right now if you're not in the books and the tapes, if you're not listening to what the prophet said, because this is the rapture. The rapture is the word that the prophet sent. And if you're not if you're not paying attention to what the message is, you could be missing the rapture right now. And so these birth pains, the birth pains are that producing the word in us, producing a change in the world, and we know that the change has to be in us first before the world can be redeemed. But all of these things are kind of happening simultaneously. You can see that the three woes, World War I, World War II, all the different things that we talked about last time, all the earthquakes and things, and it was at this 8.0 earthquake in Alaska just recently. All these things are taking place in the world because there's something taking place in the bride, and that has it produces a chain reaction.
Right.
That because there's a change happening in the bride, there's a change happening in the earth as well. So what I wanted to kind of finish this last little Sunday school lesson on is, as the bride is being birthed, there's a twin produced. Because Brother Branham always taught that in every revival, there's a twin produced. There's the carnal and the spiritual. Just like Isaac and Rebekah, when they had the children, they had Jacob and Esau, and they were at war in the womb, because that carnal and the spiritual are always at war. They're always fighting because they can't agree with one another. They were at war all the way back to in the Garden of Eden, when Cain and Abel came forth, and Cain knocked Abel upside the head with a stone or whatever he did. And that continues all the way down, and the word goes forth and somebody believes it and begins to confess it and say, this is what it really is. It produces conflict because there's this twin being born. And what's happening is this twin is an impersonation of the real thing. And if you watch, Brother Branham even taught that it gets, as we get closer to the end time, the impersonation gets closer and closer and closer. You start out with like a Cain, move on up to an Esau, and then finally you've got a Judas that's right there putting his arm around Jesus with the money bag. Right in there with the camp, casting out devils. He's right there next to the Word made flesh. He's right in there. So, you know, we're going to look at how, you know, our brother said that as birth pains, they're ultimately going to produce this World Council of Churches that bundles up all the denominational systems. And through that, the Roman Catholic Church has an opportunity to influence the world economic situation. But, you know, really, that's not going to deceive the message believer. Another twin. There's right sitting in the church right next to you, a carnal impersonator that claims to believe the same message that you do, but doesn't go all the way. That's really what the impersonator does, is they stop at just a sanctified life. They don't continue on like Judas failed to do. He didn't continue on to Pentecost.
Right.
He didn't go all the way. And we know that's really the gospel message, is to keep moving on. As the message keeps moving on, the bride keeps moving on and follows with the word. Because when you don't continue to go on, then you'll fall back and denominate, which is what happened. Is each message went forth, Paul's message went forth,
right.
Somebody came after him, pulled back, denominated, and then died. Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, each of these men, they preached a message, and then they fell back, and the people could not continue on with the message, and so they fell back and they denominated. So a carnal twin can't impersonate the word. And we're going to look at another example is Jannes and Jambres, who they could impersonate maybe the throwing down the snake, the sign in the hand, all the different things. But when it came to the word, to following that word out of Egypt, to leaving aside all of Egypt and speaking the word, they could not impersonate that. So, you know, look at this. There's a lot of things that you could impersonate. You could say, like Brother Brown taught, there's a natural that when you're born of your mother, earthly mother and father, you could maybe have a natural virtue where you can speak words of encouragement and help people. Natural temperance and patience and all these things could be impersonated. But when it comes to the opening of the word to the third pool, you can't impersonate that. You can't impersonate the third pool, because the third pool is the word open. Knowledge, a super knowledge, a super anointing, and speaking the word. And so another thing I want to bring out is look at like Joshua and Caleb as they got to Kadesh Barnea. Then you really got an example of the two spirits right there. One, Joshua and Caleb were saying, God is able to deliver the giants into our hands. And they were, it was really one in a million, a one in a million situation. The whole rest of the group said, well, I don't believe that. And so it came down to what their confession was. One said, I believe that God is able to take us over. The other said, I don't believe God is able to take us over. All the other ones, until they were ready to kill Joshua and Caleb. And that's that same story of the conflict being repeated all the way down. And so, you know, I really think that we're seeing that kind of repeat even now. When Joshua and Caleb, maybe frame the statement that Joshua and Caleb made like this. I believe that God is able to produce adopted sons and daughters of God. I believe that the adoption time is now. And everybody else was looking like Balaam did at all the people. He saw the hinder parts. He saw the bad things, the ones that weren't moving fast enough. And he looked down on the people and said, I don't see nothing moving in them. I don't really see, I can't recognize the pillar of fire. And so you see those two, one has a confession. I believe that God is able to take us over. And the other can't quite get there. And so I would caution you, and this time, I believe this is adoption time. I believe now is the time when God is adopting. And Brother Randall said that way back in, 1960, 1963, a long time ago, it's adoption time. But now you can see more than ever, something better happen because, like, let me go to this second slide. They just adjusted the doomsday clock from 3 minutes to midnight to 2 minutes to midnight because of what's going on in North Korea. You can look at the signs of the times all around the world, and we know we don't base it on a calendar like a date or anything like that. But just looking at the signs of the times, something somewhere is happening to somebody. And you say, well, I don't see nothing happening in this church. Let's just say, for example, that there is nothing happening in this church. But there's something happening somewhere. Somebody is going to be adopted, and somebody is going to take a hold of the word and believe it because it's already been spoken. God promised it, his prophet spoke it, and somebody's taking it and running with it, and I would rather it be me.
That's
right. So I believe that it's able. I believe that God is able to take us over. He is able to, by the power of the spoken word that we have heard, to change us into adopted sons and daughters of God.
That's
right. So let me go back to this slide. This is in 1961 where Brother Branham said, he was talking about how the doomsday clock was 3 minutes to midnight. And we know that since then the doomsday clock has oscillated backwards and forwards. And it's not necessarily an accurate measure of precisely where we are as far as the dangerous. It's all these scientists and whatnot, they kind of put together a little visualization so you can kind of, the people can kind of picture where we are as far as how close we are to somebody dropping a nuclear bomb. And so they just like last week or so, they moved this to 2 minutes to midnight as an indicator that there's some stuff going on in the world that people should be concerned about. Because North Korea is waving their hands and they're saying that Russia's behind it and all this kind of stuff. And just a reminder, all these things, we're not looking for a particular world event to change our bodies. What we're looking for is the word to change our bodies. But this shows that there's something taking place. What's taking place is in the bride. There's a people that are catching on to what the message is. Their bodies, their lives are being changed, and it's causing a reaction worldwide. And you can see now, it's going to produce twins. And the twin, that the other twin, is this World Council of Churches that is coming together. And they're saying they want to have that all together this year, the middle of this year. And what that will allow the Roman Catholic Church is through that World Council of Churches that is coming together in their man-made unity, it will allow the Roman Catholic Church to begin to influence the economy and begin to put things into place and everything. And it will reproduce what has been going down through all the ages,
right.
The great conflict that where the devil is after the bride, mm-hmm. You see. So then you got things like Brother Branham talked about, one day the doors will close. Now the doors are kind of closed now because there's all of these people who are saying things about how don't listen to the fivefold ministry, you don't need to go to church. And so that closes the doors in one way,
right.
But one day the doors of the churches will be closed so that you can't go to church anymore unless you are under this World Council of Churches system. And then it'll be like when the door of the Noah's Ark was closed, he allowed the door to be closed. He closed Noah's Ark. He'll allow his doors to be closed, and you'll see something happen then,
right.
I believe.
Amen.
A birth must have pain, and that's what, when the message goes forth, it produces a conflict, and that's what it produces a sorrow in your life as you struggle, as the word is being born in you. And so he just to kind of to recap and earnestly continue for the faith that was once delivered to the saint. Way back in 1953, Brother Branham said, just as there was pains and groanings in the first birth of natural, it'll have to be the same thing in the second, making a man a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's got to be a Garden of Gethsemane. There's got to be a crucifixion, a public crucifixion. And so look for that, a public crucifixion where the bride is vilified. He talked about how when Jesus was publicly crucified, what more horrible thing could it be than for people to laugh and mock him and scorn him for the word that he preached? It's one thing to be hung up there on the cross, but when people point at you and say, well, these people aren't Christians. And, you know, my wife and I were talking about, even now, today, when she goes into Walmart or anywhere, you can see it's like people hate somebody that's wearing a dress. I was walking behind my family at a park recently, and these young girls were walking by, and they began to laugh. And who do they think they are wearing their dresses? And you think that people are more receptive to that kind of thing in this modern day, but people hate it. You know, like I was thinking about the Nazis when they kind of pulled the gates back of the restriction on the people and gave them an opportunity to shoot people in the back of the head. There were many people that were willing, that were glad, that were happy to shoot people in the back of the head. And you think, oh, there's an undercurrent today of people around in the world that would be happy if just the restrictions of the laws were unleashed. They would be willing to do some pretty horrible things.
Right.
And that's what's going to come on the face. That's what's going to happen during the tribulation.
Yep.
All Jacob's trouble, all those things. Because there's got to be a purging. The people that cannot come all the way now, well, that will give them an opportunity to be purged to sit under the sixth seal, a purging of the world, all those things. But you don't want to be purged that way.
No.
Because if the things that they endured under Eichmann and Stalin and during the Dark Ages, well, think about how horrible that was. We don't want to go through the tribulation. It's time to open our hearts fully to receive the gospel that we've heard now, so that the word can be born in us. Because we don't want to. I think sometimes we kind of get so caught up in the theological aspect of, well, God's going to save other people than the ones that hear the message. That's true now. That's true. But think about what those people will have to go through, to go through the tribulation,
right.
Or to stand in front of the white throne judgment,
right.
Without knowing what you're standing on. You're just in front of the white throne judgment, being judged based on his works, but upon your works.
Right.
So certainly there will be salvation to those that don't hear the message. There'll be many people saved, but we want to receive the word that we've heard now, hear the gospel now. But let me hurry up. I'm not going to get through my slides. So this is adoption time. And Brother Branham, way back in 1953, in the valley full of ditches, said it's adoption time. He said, that's what's matter today, brother. The church ought to be in adoption right now, bringing into the full favors of God. But the thing, we're ups and downs and ins and outs and ups and downs and in and out till God can't trust us with nothing hardly. And in this day the scripture is fulfilled. He talked about the pains that the world is going through. Finally, she had birth pains plumb on up until she delivered a son of the gospel which was the Word made flesh, which is really the focus of what I've been bringing out, mm-hmm. and bringing forth that Son of the gospel, the Word made flesh again. That'll bring Jesus Christ to his bride, he said, in this day the scriptures are fulfilled in 1965. That's why the church is in birth pains, for the deliverance of the Son. And things that are to be, he said that you've got to be born again. He said that why it goes to show there's more for you. See, you're craving it. Your little birth pains are coming on. See, you need more so that we can be happy and free and perfect. We got to be. And then in unity. Now, this is the scripture that I was listening to some denominational preachers recently, and they were bringing out really, it's just really amazing what some of them are preaching about the World Council of Churches coming together and how that they're using, like Kenneth Copeland and Tony Palmer and others are using these scriptures, Ephesians 4, 11, 12, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, to justify the World Council of Churches to come together. And so the Word is bringing the bride together, which, you know, a lot of skeptics and things, the young people, so lots of people even around the message say, well, it seems like the message believers are not in any kind of unity. There's all these disagreements and things. Everybody seems like they're at each other's throats. And you know, to a point I would agree, honestly, in ministers' meetings and everything, it seems like there's not too much agreement. But there's one thing that I'm assured of is that the bride all around the world is coming to a unity. That what's bringing them together is the Spirit of God is uniting the bride. And it might be, like Brother Branham taught, a small group of people all around the world, one here, one there, but all around the world, they're coming together into a unity of faith. And it's not going to be a unity at some particular geographic location. But it's the unity under the Word. Now, what the World Council of Churches is trying to do is they're trying to produce a unity based on just saying, well, everybody, we just all roads lead to God. We're just all one. Instead of coming to the Word, they're trying to create this man-made unity. But they read this scripture. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland read this. This is going on the internet, so.
Go ahead.
He read this scripture, too. We all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so they read this about coming into the unity of faith. And yeah, it's interesting, too, that they read about the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, because that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
By their cunningness and their craftiness and saying words of, you know, encouragement to one another, and it looks so beautiful and so wonderful. And see how you can impersonate all the way up. You can impersonate, it looks good, a kind old priest, somebody that's real sweet and humble and looks nice and fine on the outside. But they cannot impersonate the Word. They cannot impersonate the third bull. What's the third bull, if I can be blamed? The third bull is this, because you come through three pulls of your own journey, where you start off at a justified, by the new birth, you are just. There's who can hold anything to the charge of God's elect. And God begins to produce a sanctification by the Word. He's washing you by the Word, a higher form of sanctification. Until you come up to the headstone where you hear the message for your day, from the message being from that. Now we know we believe all the message from 1953 or whatever all the way up to 1965, but the shout, the message, the capstone began in 1963.
Amen.
when Brother Branham began to preach the seals and preach all of this. And so that's when you feel that pull, when that pulls you up, you enter into the third pull.
Yeah.
And that is something that cannot be impersonated.
That's right.
Let me dial it back. I don't want to start preaching. And so when something happens, when a revival happens, and we know this is the greatest revival of all.
That's right.
Right.
You know, people say the revival days are over, but when the Word begins to open up to the bride, there's a revival fire in you that will never burn out, because it's been kindled in you, and it just keeps growing. It grows from faith all the way up. Come on, calm down.
Wait a minute. Come on.
And so when a revival is preached, a revival always produces twins.
Right.
And that's why we're talking about twins. Whenever there is a revival, it always produces twins. That's a rude remark, but it's true. When there was a birth from Isaac, it produced twins. When the world was created, it produced twins, two trees. And it goes on down that one looked at the natural, intellectual. The other one walked by the Spirit. That intellectual part, that's the dangerous part. That's why Paul preached that you could have, you could understand all mysteries, have
right.
all knowledge, but without love. And now that's the tricky part, without love. Because perfect love in your soul is down here.
Right.
But perfect love here is the full redemption of the body. That's why that's what so tricks up so many people. They say, well, how can you have perfect love until you get all the way up here? What about the ones beyond the curtain of time? When Brother Branham went over there and he said they all had perfect love. Perfect love in your soul, that's why redemption is three stages. Redemption for your soul, get your spirit lined up, and then your body. Perfect love in your soul down here. But we're coming to this perfect love where you have come into the full unity of the faith. Where you come to line up perfectly in sync with God's word, matching pieces. And Brother Branham said, you cannot impersonate the matching pieces where your life matches exactly what was in heaven before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Matches exactly
right.
that 126:7 man.
Right.
You have the word is now in flesh in you, and it matches perfectly with that. Well, I got off my twin. Let me get back to this. That spiritual seed and hearing, recognizing, acting on the word of God, Brother Brown said, but that spiritual seed of the living God, though it has to be a sojourner, though it has to be a rambler, it always causes separation. He says this church settles down. See, it cannot go on. And that's why it's so important to keep moving on. We don't say, well, I believe this, put a dot by it, put a comma, because that God will continue, even after we get out of here, there will be a message of cheer down through the endless ages, because God will still have more of himself to unfold. So don't put a period on the end of your revelation, but keep moving on.
Right.
Because if you put a period on the end of your revelation down here, then you wouldn't be able to move on to virtue. You keep moving on up until you come to the full unity of the faith.
That's right.
Esau was a very good type of the carnal believer today, never able to overcome the world. That's the difference. Janus and Jambres didn't want to leave Egypt.
Right.
Dathan and Korah couldn't leave Egypt. Cain couldn't forsake the things of the world and follow after God. Judas was so interested in the money bag and said after that the woman washed Jesus' feet in oil, from then on, Judas had a problem. Because
right.
he couldn't get out, he couldn't lay down the things of this world. In other words, he couldn't die.
Right.
There's got to be a death to have a birth.
Yeah, amen.
He couldn't lay, he loved the things of the world so much that he couldn't keep going on until the kingdom was birthed in him. They still like their carousing, their dancing, their manicure makeups, and the women on their faces and cutting their hair, and still belong to the church and all this. And you can keep reading, but the carnal and the spiritual, because twins are being born. That clock is my enemy.
Always has.
But Brother Brown, he talks about in the unfailing realities of the living God that the spiritual, they got their eyes on Christ because they were elected to eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
They plant right there on that. It takes everything. If it takes everything, it takes everything they got. They plant there. The other is a nominal man. He goes to church and he feels just as good as the rest of them. Goes home. Oh my, that's dangerous. That's the danger zone right there. When you come to church and you feel like you've done your religion for the week and you've gone through all the exercises and you go home and you say, well, I'm just as good as the other one there. Well, there's somebody else there that is dying to their self and soaking up the word and they're going home and studying. And when they sit in church, they don't complain about how long the minister's preaching. But they're eating it up. And that's the difference between the carnal and the spiritual. And that's how close it is in this day. It's going to be so close where Judas
is putting his arm around the word and saying, I believe the same thing you do. I'm casting out devils. I'm doing all this kind of stuff. And he's sitting right there amongst the people. Yep. And so you say, well, Brother Bob, are you preaching against me? I'm preaching against all of us. If we could all get an understanding of how close it's going to be, I think we'd like Brother Ram said at the beginning of Why Christ Speak, he said that everybody, all of us, we need to be down at the altar seeking God and praying for God to come and restore unto us the joy of his salvation.
That's right.
Might as well do the dying now because get it out of the way before the bad times come. Every revival produces twins, just as Jacob and Rebecca produced twins, he said in the Ephesian church age. And Jacob, he didn't care how long he had to hang around or whatever he had to do. The main thing in his life was the birthright.
Right.
And you know, we can look at the birthright in the Old Testament from all sorts of theological standpoints of what it represented, land, and all that kind of stuff. But Brother Branham was typing that as the new birth. There's nothing more important than being born again.
Right.
And nothing more important now in this time than adoption, because it's adoption time. It's time to get adopted. Because if you're not adopted, if you don't come to adoption, then you're going to go by the grave. And that's one of those things that I know blows a lot of people's minds. And I've been kind of talking to my wife about how I honestly have presented that wrong, because the way that you should word it is, you can't take a body change without coming to adoption.
Right.
You can go in the rapture without coming to adoption, because you go by the grave, you come up, and then you go in the rapture.
Right.
But the body change is what we're talking about. And so when I say, I've said in the past, you can't go in the rapture without, that's incorrect way of saying it. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to go from walking around now, sitting in church, directly into heaven without tasting death. And so that's what I mean when you must... It's adoption time. Jesus and Judas come out of the same tribe and in the same church.
Yep.
And even the Holy Spirit and the Antichrist is to be twins, so close that would deceive the very elected if possible. Hey, you know, you can even see the twins and the seals if you listen to what Brother Wade has been preaching out. As the beast said, come and see. Then the devil impersonates, and he says, okay, now I got what God's doing, and out goes the rider. Now, you can see that down through all the church ages, but, you know, it represents something a little different in your own life. As you see the word being born in you, then you see the rider going away. But now see what the devil does is he never does anything first. And there's a quote where Brother Bram lays that out. He's always wanting to see what God does first, because he's not a creator.
Okay.
He doesn't have any understanding outside of what he sees God do. Yeah. So he's got to wait for it. And that's why, you know, all these things that are happening in the world are a side effect of what's happening in the bride.
Amen.
Because the bride, God produces his word in the bride.
Right.
And then if the devil looks at that and says, okay, now I see how to make myself fully manifested in the Pope, in the people, in the system, and he incarnates himself in the people the same way that he's watched God incarnate himself in his people.
Right.
And that's really the twins. And he said in birth pains, which again is where I'm getting all of these lessons, and them two today is in the womb of the church. And in the womb of the church, because that's where the bride came out. She was called out of the church. And then there's another group that's called out too, but they stay in their carnal ideas and they don't go on to the new birth. And so it produces this horrible situation.
That's right, bro.
There's a great big system trying to be formed, he said, called the World Council of Churches. And from the womb of the church is coming forth two children. You just mark my word. The word must deliver the word bride church. The church has got to be delivered out of her, a bride for Christ. Them that fell asleep in all ages will make up that bride that come out on the word that they come out on, like from your feet coming to your head. She gets greater and more you have to have and so forth. As the body grows up, so does the body of Christ grow up. And then finally, the head will come to it. And see, now he's talking about the bride gets greater and greater, but this twin is also getting greater and greater.
Right.
Because the devil sees more and more of what he's impersonating.
Right. Well,
and so it gets greater and greater, from a Cain to an Esau, mm-hmm. Balaam mixed in there somewhere, all the way down to Judas, right there amongst the people, experiencing the same blessings. And he talks about the two of them are fighting. She's fixing to bring forth the perfect word. And I'm going to finish up in just here a second. Let me get to these last few slides. And he said, like, it's going to produce a stillborn baby, an ecclesiastical system that's going to bring all the denominations together to produce an Esau that hates Jacob. I hope you see it, a stillborn, dead denomination, all of them going together. All of them going together. And now the Kenneth Copeland and the Catholic Church and the World Council of Churches coming together is not just bringing all the denominations together, but they're bringing the Muslims together, the Jews together. Everything is coming together into this great big thing. And so that's what, if you go look at these websites, this big conference that they had, look at the headlines of this website, Reconciliation Matters. This is from this meeting in 2017 that they had. Lack of Christian unity harms gospel witness. There's unity in diversity. What?
Yeah.
Evangelicals, Orthodox, and Catholics discuss justification and reconciliation. And that's what's on their mind, is coming back together. Completely contrary to the word, but they don't realize it. UnitedInChrist.com, this is another one of their big websites. Working to strengthen the whole body of Christ, the mission of United in Christ is to promote the reconciliation of all Christians and Christian churches who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Messiah. Everybody coming together. And so these things are happening behind the scenes. Let's look at what he said in hearing, recognizing, acting on the word. I'm going to finish up just a second. Not just the carnal church, the one out there, the regular routine carnal church, the Esau group, which is what those slides represent, the carnal church. We got now the Judatarian group, which is far more treacherous, coming right up into the very hands of the blessing. And so there's two really groups. One that's making this World Council of Churches, and the other they're sitting right there in the blessings, saying they believe the same thing, but they don't.
Right.
And I'm going to finish right there.
Okay.
Let's go up.
Well, I realize we've got to make that font bigger for us old folks. You can't read that.
Video.
No, I couldn't read it.